आत्मानं योगीन यथा मानसः शांतिं निर्वाण परमं मत्संस्थाम् अधिगच्छति. Thus, practicing constant control of the body, mind, and activities, the mystic transcendentalist, his mind regulated, attains the kingdom of God, or the abode of Krishna, by cessation of material existence. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The ultimate goal in practicing yoga is now clearly explained. Yoga practice is not meant for attaining any kind of material facility. It is to enable the cessation of all material existence. One who seeks an improvement in health or aspires after material perfection is no yogi, according to Bhagavad Gita. Nor does cessation of material existence entail one's entering into the void, which is only a myth. There is no void anywhere within the creation of the Lord. Rather, the cessation of material existence enables one to enter into the spiritual sky, the abode of the Lord. The abode of the Lord is also clearly described in the Bhagavad Gita as that place where there is no need of sun, moon, or electricity. All the planets in the spiritual kingdom are self-illuminated, like the sun in the material sky. The kingdom of God is everywhere, but the spiritual sky and the planets thereof are called Paramdhamma, or supreme, superior abodes. I would like to welcome all of our honored guests this evening, and especially like to express my gratitude to Rohini Nandan Prabhu and all of the trustees and residents of this beautiful complex for organizing such a very wonderful atmosphere to hear and chant the topics of Krishna. We are reading this evening from Bhagavad Gita. And not only are we reading from Bhagavad Gita, but we are seeing the very personification of Bhagavad Gita in the form of this very worshipable and humble sadhu, Janani Vas Prabhu, who is the head pujari of Sri Radha Madhav Mandir in Sri Mayapur, the international headquarters of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So, in essence, he is the head pujari for the Hare Krishna movement. So let us all very enthusiastically welcome him. In today's verse, from the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna is explaining what is the real meaning of yoga. Yoga means to reconnect our consciousness with its source, or Krishna. And that comes only through practicing constant control of our mind and senses. When the mind is regulated by always remembering our constitutional position as the eternal servant of Krishna, then we can experience the supreme bliss of the soul. And in this very life, we could realize the abode of the Lord within our very hearts. Because the Lord is seated within everyone's heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayesha arjuna tishtati. Therefore, the heart is the abode of the Lord. But somehow or other, due to the consciousness being in contact with material energy, our attention has been distracted away from Krishna toward all of the objects of the senses in this world. And thus we spend our entire life trying to acquire happiness and trying to avoid unhappiness, distress. And we are so much immersed in this futile endeavor that in the process we completely neglect the real treasure of transcendental joy that is within our own hearts. So Krishna consciousness is the original spiritual consciousness that is dormant within everyone. And this human form of life is specifically meant to awaken that consciousness. And that comes by purifying our mind of all distractions in the form of material attachments. And yoga is this process. Krishna explains in the second chapter of Gita, Tani Saravani Samyamya Yukta Asita Matpara Vasehi Asyendriyani Tasya Pragya Pratishtata, that one must restrain one's senses and mind from material enjoyment and fix it on Krishna. In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami explains that to see God and the eagerness to see God is actually the goal of life. Of course, here in India, so many people claim that they are seeing God. But what is the qualification of one who sees God? According to the Shastras, one who sees God is one who has not the slightest inclination for material enjoyment. That means no lust, no envy, no pride, no greed, no anger, no illusion. Not a trace of such anartas or unwanted qualities are within the heart of one who sees God. Because all of these material qualities are like darkness. Krishna Surya Samaya Hoya Andhakar. And Krishna is like the sun. When Krishna reveals himself to us from within our hearts, all of these material qualities must be dispelled. They cannot exist in the presence of the brilliance of Krishna's presence. So, when we want to know someone who actually sees God, we should not ask him, "Do you see God?" Because anyone can give an answer. But we should observe their qualities. If they are actually pure in their living, in their speaking, if they are free from selfishness, from greed, from envy, from lust, from pride, they are always immersed in the greatest welfare service to all human beings. By glorifying God, that person is seeing God. And the price to see God is the eagerness to want to see God. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained, do not try to see God, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. It is explained in Bhagavad Gita, Naham Prakasha Saravasya Yogamaya Samavrata. That means that to those who are foolish, who are still trying to enjoy this material energy, by his yogamaya potency, he covers himself. Although Krishna is within us, and Krishna, through his diversified energy, is everywhere around us. Why we do not see? Because Krishna is covering us, because we do not want to see. When we have such an eagerness to serve Krishna, such an eagerness to see him through the process of pleasing him through service, only then does Krishna reveal himself to us. And when he is revealed, all the miseries, all the sufferings, all the ignorance of this creation are simultaneously removed, and real happiness is achieved. How to be eager to see Krishna? Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the strength of eagerness for Krishna. He tells a story of a thief who happened to come to a program like we are at this evening. There was someone who was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, and he was describing the beauty of Krishna, how he stands in a threefold bending form, how he has a beautiful blackish complexion like that of a freshly formed rain cloud in the monsoon season, how he has beautiful eyes that are like the blooming petals of a lotus flower, how he has a beautiful, charming smile upon his face, and he is decorated with a wonderful garland of forest flowers from the groves of Vrindavan, and how he plays upon his flute, and how his mother decorates him with very, very valuable jewels made of gold and silver and diamonds and emeralds and rubies. And when the thief heard that, he was very excited. A small boy who's playing alone in the forest and he's wearing such valuable jewels. If I just get those jewels from that little child, I will be a millionaire. I will never have to steal anything again the rest of my life. So he fixed his mind on this description so he would know exactly who he was. And with this great, great eagerness in his mind, meditating on the beautiful description of Krishna's form, he went all the way to Vrindavan. And then he was searching and searching and searching. It was his complete fixation of consciousness on Krishna. And then he saw Krishna. And he approached Krishna. And he was thinking, if I flatter this small child by saying nice things about him, then he will like me and voluntarily give me the jewels. So he started glorifying Krishna, telling, you are such a nice boy, you are so beautiful, you are so wonderful. And he was praising Krishna with a great eagerness. And after flattering him in so many ways, he said, my child, Krishna, please, will you give me your jewelry? And Krishna replied, no, no, no. Because my mother, Yashoda, she placed this jewelry on me, and she will be very unhappy if I come home without it. So I'm sorry, I cannot give you. So the thief was, when he heard that, he became even more eager for the jewelry. Krishna was playing with him, tricks, just to increase his eagerness. So then he was making so many arguments and making so many appeals to Krishna. And Krishna just kept saying, no, 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 what will my mother say? And the eagerness was growing and growing and growing. And finally Krishna said, all right, I will give you all my jewelry. And the thief bowed at the lotus feet of Krishna and said, I do not want your jewelry. I have achieved the treasure of your darshan, and now I am completely purified and surrendered to your lotus feet. I am your servant. How can I serve you? In this way, just by remembering Krishna with this fixed consciousness, he became purified. Om apavitra pavitro va sarvavastam gatopiva yasmaret pundarikaksam sabhayabhyantara suchi. One who remembers the beautiful form of Krishna, whether that person is pure or impure, becomes purified by the remembrance of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada also uses the example of gopis of Braja, how they were fixed in remembering Krishna. And through that remembrance of Krishna, they became completely freed of any material attachments. Material attachments are contrary to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the real path of yoga doesn't teach us that, as Prabhupada is explaining here, that by practicing yoga, you will get better health, you will get better wife, better husband, better children, better position in society. These things are all temporary. This is not the purpose of life. These things will come and they will go. However beautiful your wife is or handsome your husband is, in a few years, no one wants to see them. However great your wealth is, you do not know tomorrow whether you will have it or not. One of the names of Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is Chanchala, which means she never stays in one place for a long time. So you may have the mercy of Lakshmi by having great wealth, but it is guaranteed it will not remain for long. She will go elsewhere. Life itself is like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. It remains for a moment in terms of eternity, and then it is gone. And where it will go, we do not know. Therefore, we should fix our consciousness on the supreme goal of life, the eternal abode of the Lord, through service to the Lord. This type of concentration, this type of eagerness to see Krishna, to serve Krishna, is not possible through performance of lifetimes of pious activities. It is not possible through lifetimes of performance of yajna. It is not possible to attain this eagerness to serve God even through millions of births of performing tapasya. Fasting, depriving the body. It is only possible through the association of devotees. By associating with the Lord's devotees, Mahatsevam Dwaram Ahuravam Ovtes, Tamodwaram Yoshita Sangisangam. The doors to liberation open through the process of awakening a deeper and deeper desire to serve God and to know God and to love God. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is our spiritual master, he traveled to so many various places, and due to his association, even people who were of the grossest materialist state of consciousness, just by hearing from him, by seeing him, by doing some favor for him, Agyata Sukriti, even unknowingly, a desire to serve God, an eagerness to love God awakened in their heart. And through that association, their lives were transformed. And Srila Prabhupada explained that this is the power of the association of devotees. Lord Chaitanya has prayed, Sadhu Sangha Sadhu Sangha Sarva Sastra Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoi. Even one moment's association with a sadhu, one who is purely and genuinely attached to the service of the Lord, can transform one's life and open the doors to liberation. So there is no greater achievement in all the world than the opportunity to associate with the Lord's devotees. And we see within this wonderful satsang this evening, there are hundreds of people who have the tilak and the kanti mala. Externally, they wear these signs to express to the world their desire to love and serve God. But in their hearts, they are living very pure lives. They do not waste their time watching the televisions. They do not waste their lives going to the clubs or the restaurants or the hotels. They come to wonderful pravachans and kirtans, and they take great joy. They do not indulge in illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, or meat eating. They live pure lives, dedicated to Krishna's service, dedicated to giving the greatest charity of bhakti to others. And how did this all come about? Simply through the process of associating with Srila Prabhupada and associating with devotees. Complete transformation of heart. An eagerness to see God. An eagerness to serve God. An eagerness to be kind and compassionate to others. This is real yoga. Some of these little children that are before us, they are yogis. Better yogis than the long matted hair sadhus of the Himalayas. Because their minds are fixed in the purpose of life. To serve God. To chant His holy names. To hear His glories. On May 10th, at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, there will be a satsang where hundreds and hundreds of adults will attend, and it will all be conducted by small children who are all great yogis. They will be performing kirtan, they will be giving lectures, telling stories, performing dramas, having puppet shows, everything for the purpose of giving Krishna to others. This is the power of the association of devotees, how it transforms people's lives and brings about real happiness. Happiness through experiencing spiritual activities. Not happiness derived through the wasteful material activities of sense gratification. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna Himself who has appeared in this age of Kali Yuga for the purpose of giving the gift of Krishna Prema, the highest liberation, to everyone. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would every night have wonderful, wonderful kirtans with His associates at the house of Srivas in Navadvip, which is the home of Janani Vas Prabhu. He is a Navadvip Vasi. And one time a very materialistic and egoistic Brahmin came to the house. But all the doors were locked and all the windows were closed, so he could not get in. And they were chanting so nicely, they didn't hear him. So he was very insulted. "I am a Brahmin. I am a guru. Why you did not entitle me to come in?" So he was very angry. And the next day, Lord Chaitanya was walking along the banks of the river Ganges, and he happened to come across this Brahmin, who began to chastise Lord Chaitanya, who was very humble and respectful to everyone. He said, "I am a Brahmin, and I am very expert at cursing others when I am angry. And I'm very expert at speaking harsh words. And last night you did not allow me entrance into your kirtan. This is a great aparad. Therefore I curse you to never again enjoy material happiness." And then he snapped his sacred thread. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became filled with joy to hear this curse, that he would never again enjoy material happiness. And he said, "Thank you very much." And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that anyone hears this story of Lord Chaitanya's jubilation upon getting cursed by the Brahmin to lose all material happiness, that person who hears this story and understands the supreme nature of Lord Chaitanya by listening will never again be influenced by the curse of a Brahmin or anyone else. Because factually, Lord Chaitanya is beyond all material reactions. But still, in order to instruct us, he felt very happy. Because material happiness is completely contrary to spiritual bliss. Are we going to search for material happiness, which has a beginning and an end, which Krishna explains tastes like nectar in the beginning and poison in the end? Or are we going to strive for spiritual ecstasy, which is unlimited and ever increasing, and brings our consciousness beyond birth and death. Human life is meant to seek eternal bliss, spiritual realization. And material happiness is meant for animals. Nayam deho dehavajam na loke kastan kamanarhati vibhujamje. The dogs and the hogs, they are eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and making so many arrangements for temporary sensual enjoyment and mental happiness. We should not waste our time. Life is short. It can end at any moment. We should not be under the illusion that we have long lives to live. Maharaj Yudhisthira, when he was asked by the Yaksha, what is the most wonderful thing in the world? Yudhisthira Maharaj replied that all around living beings are dying. And yet everyone is thinking that I have a long time to live. But we do not know when that moment will come, the final exam of life. Therefore now, komara acharit pragyo dharaman bhagavataniha. Whatever time of life we are, whether we are small children or old, now is the time to cultivate the real purpose of life, to awaken an eagerness to serve God and love God by associating with His devotees, by learning the process of real yoga, by keeping our mind fixed on the goal of life. And that is easily achieved by remembering Krishna. By remembering Krishna, we become purified within and without. And the sublime process called the Yuga Dharma in this age of Kali Yuga, by which we can remember Krishna, is to chant His holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Because Krishna has appeared personally, with all of His opulence and power within His name. And when we chant the holy name of Krishna and hear that sound vibration, Krishna manifests Himself within our hearts and gradually purifies us of all the darkness of material misconception and attachment. And through the process of chanting as Krishna's names and the association of the devotees, gradually we realize the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, the source of all bliss, Lord Krishna. Thank you very much. I would like to ask Janani Vas Prabhu to speak for a few minutes about whatever he feels will most benefit all of you this evening.
Thank you very much, Radhanath Swami, for your very enlightening lecture. Very difficult to follow after hearing his words. But I was reminded during his lecture, Radhanath Swami's lecture, the very first time I met Srila Prabhupada, and he was saying exactly the same thing that Radhanath Swami said, that he said during the lecture, he said, you shouldn't try to see Krishna, but you let Krishna see you engaged in service. And that struck me. And so I tried to follow that instruction and absorb myself in service. And this is the Krishna consciousness. It's absorption in the service of Krishna. We are all eternal servants of Krishna, and we should be serving Krishna. And it is not at all difficult. So the more we become absorbed in this, the more effect Krishna consciousness will have on our lives. So Krishna consciousness is actually already there within the heart. It is not something we are trying to achieve. It's already existing in the heart. It's simply covered by dirty things, all this moila in the heart. It has to be cleaned out. And the process for cleaning all this is that we need some spiritual soap, like we clean our bodies every day with soap, so we need some spiritual soap to clean the heart, so that that cleansing process, you know, the soap is the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Ram Ram. And when all the moila is cleared, all the dirt is gone, then one can actually understand his self, he can understand Krishna, he can understand his relationship with Krishna, and his service to Krishna, and engage in that in full purity and natural his natural existence, which is what everyone is looking for. All the relationships that we have now with family, friendship, society and love, we are looking for that relationship with Krishna. But we have, under the illusion of identifying with the body, and then we want relationship with this body, so now we have formed families and society, etc. But yet the principle is that we are not this body. We are something different from this body. We are the soul within the body. And it is that soul that is seeking this relationship. It is seeking that love that we confuse externally with the bodies and society, and try to form relationships here in material relationships. But we know that these material relationships, they do not last for very long. Even if one claims to be very happy in life, still he cannot maintain it, because of his loved ones will be taken away at the time of death. There is no one who is permanently here who can experience the eternal happiness, because everyone is taken away at the time of death. So then what happens again? We start again in a new life, and again that same search for that relationship, for that love is there. We actually love Krishna more than anything else. In the spiritual world, Krishna was the only object of our attention, only object of our love. Somehow or another, by our own misfortune, we decided to come to this material world for some reason or another. And we came here, and now we have forgotten our relationship with Krishna. But that feeling is still there in the heart. Where is that person whom I was so absorbed in, I was so attached to, I loved so much, who took all of my attention? Where is he? And that is what we are looking for. It's the only thing that is lacking in the world. Otherwise, there is nothing lacking in this material world. But that one thing is lacking, and this is what we are searching for. And we are trying to get it through in family, society, friendship and love. But we will not get it. But we will continue to search, because it is a natural propensity that we have. We are still looking for that most lovable object. So when we come to, again to Krishna consciousness, at last we find, this is satisfaction. This is actually what we were looking for. And everybody experiences it who comes to Krishna consciousness. That satisfaction, that peace is there. No more running here and there, hankering and lamenting. Srila Prabhupada gives an example of the baby that's crying and crying and crying. So one mother is passing to another, to the other Mataji. They're all trying to pacify the baby. And one lap to another. But when she comes to the original mother, immediately the baby stops crying. So like that, when we come to Krishna consciousness, immediately all of our anxieties, all of our hankerings, and everything else is achieved. The happiness we are looking for is all achieved in Krishna consciousness. So this is because it is quite natural. And the process we see also is quite natural, because when we dance and chant, the children also get up and dance and chant. If we were telling everybody that the children, you sit down and you perform this yoga asana and you fix your mind and you meditate, maybe for 3 seconds they would do it. And then they would start to play and be agitated. But nobody tells them to get up and dance, but automatically when there's curtain they jump up and dance. Because it is a natural thing, it is natural for the soul. So it is nothing artificial that we are trying to achieve. Everything is already there. It's just a reawakening only. We have simply forgotten our original Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada has so kindly come to awaken us to Krishna consciousness. And he has given, it's a free gift from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this Kali Yuga, not available before, but it's freely given. And the price is one's eagerness, as Radhanath Swami was teaching us, his enthusiasm and eagerness, and also patience should be there. But we should rest assured that if we take to the process with enthusiasm and also patience, then the result will surely come. And at the end of this life, we will go back to Godhead, undoubtedly. Otherwise, what is the meaning of Mahabharanaya? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Mahabharanaya, the most merciful avatar. And he has come and given a program, a simple program for the people of Kali Yuga that everybody can follow. You don't have to be learned, you don't have to be a scholar, you don't have to be a practiced yogi. He has come to deliver everyone, so he has given a process that anyone can take to. And so these principles that he has given, if we follow these under the guidance of the representatives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, under Srila Prabhupada's direction, then we can rest assured that we will go back home, back to Godhead at the end of this life. We have no need to worry about that. So then our only business in life becomes that we have received this great gift. And as much as we receive this gift, as much as we embrace the gift, which is free, that much we can get. So if we're still holding on to something with one hand, we can get one armful of this Krishna consciousness. But if we let go of everything and embrace completely Krishna consciousness, we get the full Krishna consciousness. So then all of our anxieties and everything disappears. And then our only business becomes others. Because we have God. And naturally, anybody who's experiencing some love for Krishna, he knows what a joy it is, and he wants to give it to others. It is quite a natural thing. So then his business becomes how to give it to others. And this is Srila Prabhupada's exemplified by this. He gave himself to everyone. A Vaishnava, he doesn't live for himself. He lives for others. So upon receiving Krishna consciousness, we have this much faith that I have got this Krishna consciousness being given to me by the devotees of Krishna who are coming in a bona fide sampradaya. It's a bona fide a process that's been given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, I have that faith, I have that conviction that my life is now, I don't need anything else. I simply have to maintain the principles and the program that has been given by the previous acharyas. Now I don't even have to worry about my future. My future is guaranteed. I'm going back to God. So now my attention is not on myself anymore, but on others. How to execute the mission. That person who has given me Krishna consciousness, actually I owe my life to him. What can I do for him? And what does he say? What does the guru say? He says, you give Krishna consciousness to others. So this is the process. We receive and we give. And this becomes our mission. We simply want to give to others, to everyone. So you are such a wonderful audience here, all very Krishna consciousness. So this is what you should do. This is the best way to become Krishna conscious, to please Krishna, to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His instruction was that first you become convinced of this philosophy, of this teaching, of the potency of the holy name, convinced of the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and his devotees. That's all it takes, and it can take one moment. But he says, first become convinced. And when you are convinced about this, you simply give to others. That is all he is asking. So, I can see you're all convinced. You're all coming out to hear Radhanath Swami. And I know you're all dedicated, many dedicated followers of him, and following many, many principles. So this is an indication of your conviction. So we can make many colonies like this in Bombay. There are hundreds of colonies, thousands of colonies. So it doesn't take much to convince others. Once you are convinced, then it's easy to convince others. If you're not convinced, then it's a little bit difficult. But if you're convinced, it's as easy as anything. And not only it's easy, but you want to do it. When you realize the joys of Krishna consciousness, you want to give to everyone. You realize it. How people are suffering without Krishna consciousness. We're requesting that you please take to this Krishna consciousness and try to give it as much as possible in any way you can, if you're a housewife or you're a businessman or you're at school or college. Just give it to your friends next to you. Start with your closest friends. Just tell them about Krishna, that's all. Tell them about Krishna consciousness. And it will become so infectious that they will very greedily want to hear more and more, take it up. Then they will want to tell their friends. And this way it will very, very quickly spread. And everybody will be engaged in Krishna consciousness in service of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And if you don't do it, then you will be considered very unfortunate. Because Nityananda Prabhu made a prediction that from Mayapur there will be one Adbhuta Mandir, a very outstanding temple will be constructed there, which Srila Prabhupada has given us as a mission also. And he said from that wonderful temple, service to Lord Chaitanya will spread all over the world. Krishna Prem will spread all over the world in the form of service to Krishna. So it's coming. It's coming. It's on its way. It'll soon be coming to Bombay. It's just a matter of time. So if you accept this process of service, then you can be absorbed in it now. But if you don't accept it, then you won't be drowned in this great flood of love of God when it comes. You will float on the surface. You won't be experiencing the diving into the ecstasies of Krishna consciousness. So begin now. Don't wait until it comes. It's going to come. It's a prediction by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. So take it right now. And when it comes, you will be able to dive deeper, much deeper into that ocean of ecstatic Krishna consciousness. So I want to thank you again for inviting me to speak, and I thank Radhanath Swami for allowing me to sit next to him and have his holy association. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.
Srinivas Prabhu ki.